Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Hallelujah. All right. Don't forget the slate. By the way, let's look in that direction and say thank you to that man behind there. Yes, I won't tell you what he did, but yeah, we came here last night and everything was set up. Hallelujah. All right. So for a while we've been talking about, you know, at least during the faith campaign, we've been talking about increase. We've been talking about the prodigal mind. We've been talking about how the mind needs to be set at the right place for the things that God wants to do. We used the story of the parable, popularly called the parable of the prodigal son, and we touched on a number of things there. And then we moved on to the story of the talents, where he said that he gave unto one 5, he gave unto another one 2, and he gave unto the third one 1. Now there are quite a lot of interesting points for us to pick out of those two stories. And today I want to touch on something that I've called the wisdom of work in fulfilling prophecy. The wisdom of work in fulfilling prophecy. Pastor O has helped me out with the initial stages, and we'll consolidate on some of the thoughts that were started during the Bible study. But the wisdom of work in fulfilling prophecy. Because, you know, as Christians, we are a prophetic people. And when we say prophecy, what exactly are we talking about? You know, what are we talking about? What exactly is this thing that we refer to as prophecy? The way I look at it is, prophecy is the revelation of divine intent. Prophecy is the revelation of divine intent. So you have a revelation of what God wants to do. Now, the most sure word of prophecy is what we have written on the pages of the book. That's the most sure word of prophecy. So that one, you can't get that wrong. That's I like the way Pastor put it, unless you are overzealous, then you get it wrong. But you can't get it wrong. It's what it is. It's what's written. There is no way you would come and say that somebody, that's not what he said. Everybody can read it for themselves. And that's great, because we can all see what the book says. We can all do our research and understand what is here. And that is the foundation of any prophetic word that has come in your direction. So as Christians, we're a prophetic people. Christianity itself was found on the prophetic. It was found on people who were releasing the divine intent of God. And even God himself revealing his intent. In the book of Genesis, after Adam sinned, you know, God drove him out of the garden. God told him to go away, effectively. He would sort him out. But in that same story, you see the word that says that he's going to bruise the neck of the serpent. So there was something released there about Christ. When you look at almost every book of the Bible, whether you look at it in the chronological order or you look at it in the order that's in the Bible right now. Almost every single book talks about Jesus. Almost every single book. There is something hidden in them that talks about Jesus. So the Bible talks about Jesus being created from the foundations of the world. He was formed from the foundations of the world. He was slain from the foundations of the world. So before we even started saying, let's put the world together and all of that, Jesus had been slain. Now, one of the things that God has been impressing on my heart of recent is go back to some of the things that happened at the beginning. You know, when we asked Jesus about divorce, and he said, look, Moses said to us that give a bill, and once you give the bill, that's it. And I hope you know that in the UK, they're trying to pass a law that says that you can divorce if you just feel like, I want to divorce you, just divorce. Just go to the court and say, I'm divorcing. For what? No reason whatsoever. At the moment, there are about three or four things, according to the law of the land, is what I'm saying now. Not according to the law of God, according to the law of the land. There are about three or four things that they say. If any of those three or four, you can claim them, then you are okay. But they want to change that thing that if you just feel like you want to separate, you can go to the court and just say, I just don't like that person, and no questions asked, you go out. And interestingly, one of the guys going against that thing says that more marriages, over the last 4 years, more marriages have been restored in the process where they're going through the legal battles. Because suddenly they start to realize themselves, they start to talk, they start to do all that kind of stuff. But my point here is that the Bible says that when they asked Jesus, he said, look, from the beginning it was not so. From the beginning it was not so. And God was saying, go back to some of these things. Think about what were some of the instructions that God gave to Adam. What was the foundational instruction that Adam got? And at the time Adam got that instruction, Adam was not in a fallen state. He was in a state where he was still one with God. He was in a state where he was still, in a sense, moving with the wisdom of God. So check some of those things out. And after Adam sinned, check out some of the things that God said at the time he sinned. Because as soon as you start to look at some of those things, you start to see a pattern. And this pattern is part of what is influencing my thoughts around what I call the wisdom of walk. The wisdom of walk. That even when prophetic statements have been released, divine prophetic statements, even when they have been released, there is a battle for the fulfillment of that word. Now, in some cases, you could alter the direction of the word completely. In some cases, there's not much you can do about it. And I think that those cases are really few. Where, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. In Acts of the Apostles, for example, there is a story where a prophet came and the prophet said, listen, there's going to be a famine in this land. Now, let's start to contribute because this famine is coming. And people contributed, sustained them through the period of the famine. And when they got out of it, it was fine. But he was a prophet. Couldn't they have just lifted up their voice to God and said, oh, God of heaven, let's avert this thing. But they understood that, okay, this one, we're not averting this one. So let's just know where the wisdom is. Let's quickly gather ourselves. Whoever has some, put that thing together and start to help those who might be in need. So it takes wisdom to understand that and say, this is not a prayer and fast issue. This is a people put money together, solve this problem. And that was what they went through then. So you've got that kind of thing. And you've got the sort of one that I think we talked about this recently, the story of Hezekiah. You know, Isaiah the prophet, was Isaiah, wasn't he? Yeah, Isaiah the prophet came to him and said, look, you're going to die. Get your house in order. And the guy says, oh God, who turns to the wall, oh God, what's happening? And by the time the prophet was going to get to the door, God tells the prophet, now go back. Go and tell that guy that I'm adding 10 more years to your life. So in that sort of scenario, you are able to change that. You are able to change that. So you need wisdom to understand where you are in the prophetic message that has come to you. Otherwise, you find out that you will struggle to try to get things to work. So when I talk about the wisdom of work, what exactly is it that I'm talking about? You see, in Christianity, we have... When you talk about increase, when you talk about prosperity, when you talk about some of these things, people immediately attack the message. Immediately that they come again. Every time you go to church, it's about money, it's about this. But the truth of the matter is that Christianity, the message of increase goes far beyond money. It goes far beyond money. When we're not really, money is a product of this thing, is a product of it. So in Deuteronomy 8 verse 18, the popular scripture that we know, it talks about this. It says that for God has given you, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he who has given you power to get wealth. Wealth was the product. The power was the real substance. Are you getting that? Wealth was the product. The power was the real substance. So you may give somebody wealth and they would lose the wealth. Why? Because they have no power to reproduce it. We should be dealing with the power to get wealth, not necessarily the wealth. Because when you look at the power to get wealth, it now means that you are getting to another realm entirely. It means that your focus on wealth actually means nothing. If I don't have it, I'll recreate it. They went to Jesus. They said, look, these people have come for tax, so how are we going to sort this out? And he asked them, said, who pays tax? Is it us? Is it them? And said, well, we have to pay. And he said, okay, what do we do? He said, go out, go and get a fish. The first one you get, take the money out of it and go and pay the tax. So he did not have the physical money at that time. He said, go to the fish. That is the power to get wealth. So you may not have the physical thing, but there is something operating inside you that has the capacity to create anything you desire. Now, the other point is this. Sometimes people, we think that as Christians, it's a, you know, the whole thing around piety, we have to be so sanctimonious, we are, you know, and I'm sure that there's nobody like that here that thinks along those lines. But the point here is, you will come across people who think along those lines, and that as Christians, we shouldn't really be increasing, we should be taking our money and we should be spending that money everywhere. And somebody mentioned something a while ago. I was watching an interview, and they were saying that how come the church is not doing as much? Of course, churches are doing a lot, but you know, why isn't the church doing as much? Why is the church waiting for the government to sort things out? And the guy said, look, the government takes 40% of what we earn. And that's if you're at a certain bracket. If you go past a certain amount, they take about 50% of what you earn. So he said, listen, They're taking 50% of what I earn. Why should I now be taken out of the remaining 50% to now use for these things? I should hold them accountable for the bit that they have. And I saw a little bit of sense in it. And then another area that is kind of tricky is this area of being materialistic. That when you talk about increase, you are being materialistic. Okay, it depends on the context in which you are talking about increase. And again, I think that there is a lot of truth to it, but I think it is not the whole truth. Because there is a very, very fine line between you having a lot of substance and the substance actually changing your behavior and your character. It's a very fine line. And the Bible says something. It says, look, tell those who are rich among you not to be high-minded. And why? Because when you have an abundance of wealth, money becomes an immediate answer to challenges without trusting God. You immediately go to money as the answer. You know, money answereth all things. But the point here is, the one who has grown in Christianity is the one who is able to master the urge to use money before God. You master it. And you say that, I have the abundance of wealth. Yet, I will go to God first. Understand what God wants me to do. And then I go to money. And the reason is simple. A lot of the things that we call challenges today, they are opportunities to enter into greatness. Your money and the resources you have can derail you from that opportunity. So you need to be careful about how you look at this. So when I talk about the wisdom of work in fulfilling prophecy, what I'm talking about is taking responsibility for the fulfillment of the prophecy. So, open your Bibles to 1 Timothy. Let me read something to you there. 1 Timothy chapter 1, I think it is. So, look, let's look at verse 18. It says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them might war a good warfare. So the essence of the prophecy is so you can war a good warfare. So you can go in the you already know the intent of God now. You know exactly the scripture that has come to life for you. You then take that scripture and you start to use it. So he says, the prophecy was there. But now, use the prophecy to war. So we have to be careful about these things. We have to understand that when we're talking about increase here, when we're talking about how God wants to enlarge us, I'm not really talking about the product of the wealth. I'm talking about the process, internal process that creates it. So, for example, if you look at Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they are working in the foreign land that they've been taken to. And the king comes and says, "We're going to kill everybody. This is the dream I've had. If you cannot answer this thing, we're going to kill everybody." What do the guys do? Because they had the power, they said, "Okay, is that the problem? Don't worry, we'll sort it out." And they knew to rely on that internal capacity to use it. In other words, when you do not draw on the internal capacity that God has provided to you, you will be at the same level as the person that does not have God. There will be no difference. You will be walking like dead men. No hope in this world. So we need to fashion our minds in the direction of God. And as we do that, the change starts to take place. The change starts to take place. And I strongly believe this, that any area in which you are not increasing in capacity and productivity, any area in which you are not increasing is an area that you have not committed yourself to the demands for increase. If you are not financially free, that means you are not stressed. Money comes as you need it. You go to a store, you need something. You are not walking away because you cannot afford it. You are walking away because you are making a conscious decision not to acquire the thing. You have peace on every side. The real truth is that you need to go back and look at the process for creating wealth. I was saying something a few days ago. When we left Ashburnham, there were certain things, and I'll get into this in a bit more detail. There were certain things that God spoke to me about. I did not waste time on those things. Immediately, I started to work on them. Why did I do that? Number one, if you leave it too long, that energy you got goes out. Your desire to do it will go down. Number two is, I understood this thing that intent, divine intent, had been made available to me. I now needed the responsibility of work to merge with the divine intent to produce the results. Now, there are some practical things you do when you are in that space. So you've received the prophecy. You've received the divine intent. There is something you need to do. The responsibility of work, you need to add to that. Then there is the practical step of putting your heart in the matter. Now, how do you put your heart in the matter? When somebody says to you, "You have to believe." What exactly does that mean? What does it mean? Now, the Bible says something. It says, where your treasure is, your heart will go there. So what did I do? I took financial resources and I threw it on the idea. So now, financial resources are there. My heart must be there. My heart must be there. So there is a prophetic word. There is the responsibility of work. And there is the heart in the matter. So now, they are starting to come together. They are starting to come together to produce fruit. Increase is really about fruitfulness. It's really fruitfulness. That's what we're talking about. If you are not increasing, you are not fruitful. That's it. If you are not increasing, you are not fruitful. And if you are not fruitful, how will you multiply? It's not going to happen. It's not going to work. So there is capacity. There is productivity. What do I mean? When you have capacity, so you can see somebody, for example, they built their mind so much, they spent time on it so much, that now, when you are talking about certain things, their mind is just going to this, they are just picking out all the answers. Why? Because they have spent time. I was telling Pastor, immediately I left Ash Burnham and this thing started burning in my head. Combined between Ash Burnham and now, on one topic, one area of concern, I must have expended almost 200 hours. On that one thing. On that one thing. That is the responsibility of work. That is the wisdom of work. So that one thing you took out of Ash Burnham, how much time have you spent searching out answers on that matter? Because in your search for the answers, suddenly you start to see, okay, so this is how it works. This is how it works. And because I had committed resources to it, my heart is in it. Everything is there. Everything is there. And the end result is that, no. People must be saved. People must be delivered. The financial side of things is an inevitable product of that kind of activity.
Yeah.
Inevitable product. It just comes as part of it. So you're not really going away looking for money. Money just comes. It just comes. You offer a good service, people will come.
Yeah.
That's the whole. Isn't that the whole problem with transportation in this country now? You withdraw license, but you have over 40,000 people who are in the business. You have almost 3-4 million people that use the service. How is it going to work? What do you expect those 3 or 4 million people to do? Why? Somebody decided to plug a service. Somebody decided to plug a service. So there is capacity and there is productivity. You know, the children of Israel, they were in Egypt and everything was kind of going well. They were, of course, it wasn't quite going well. They were being dealt with by the Egyptians. And then suddenly, one man shows up and he says, God, the God of your fathers has sent me. And he goes to the king. The king says, God of your father, which God? In fact, it's because you people have too much time on your hands. That's why you can be talking like that. If we deal with you properly, all this thing will stop. So what happens? He says, we used to give them straw. We draw the straw, but don't drop the output. Guess what? They didn't. They did it. They delivered with less. That is capacity at work. There is capacity within you to do more. God wants you to tap into the capacity. A situation comes in around you. Guess what people do when they don't understand this thing? They use money to solve it. What happens? capacity doesn't grow more. You feel like, ah, what's going on? Capacity and productivity. So when you commit yourself to something, capacity will grow. And apart from capacity growing, you suddenly start to get more productive. You spend, I think they said, if you want to be a professional on something, spend up to 10,000 hours. You become an authority on the thing. You become an authority on the thing. On this particular case, I've only spent about 200 hours. And I'm already knowledgeable. I'm already looking at this and I'm saying, okay, I understand where we made the mistake here. We started creating things that are showing that, okay, there is a different knowledge at work here. These things are important. So there's been a prophetic word, but the actions are now driving the results. Now, the level of input you need to drive whatever idea you've got, it depends on your starting point, to be fair. It depends on your starting point. You know, I was listening to somebody a while ago. The man said that as a business, they were owing. You know, they were owing. I was talking about billions of dollars they were owing. And he said they continued servicing the debt. And there were many things they wanted to do, they couldn't do because they were servicing debt. But guess what? The debt was coming down. I told someone once, I said, listen, a lot of times we forget the little things that God is doing. So say, for example, somebody is at, maybe you owe £10,000 and you've been paying something over time. Your £10,000 has now gone down to £5,000. Guess what? You have increased. You are not out of the hole, but you have increased. You are still negative. That's why there is a negative scale on the math thing. You go all the way positive, you go all the way negative. If you are all the way negative, as long as you are doing the right things, you will be moving towards positive. And this guy said, listen, we had no money. We were servicing the debt. There were ideas we had we couldn't execute on. Suddenly, they paid the debt. And they started to save about $2 billion every year. And then they had one initiative they wanted to do. They had about $30 billion. Increase. Listen, increase is about the physical manifestation of resources in your life. Is a function of the effort you commit to prophetic statements. In a place, it says this. In the book of, I think it's in Timothy, chapter 2. It says, ever learning. You are learning. Never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Ever learning. And what do you mean you come to the knowledge of the truth? When you get to the knowledge of the truth, you start to see with your eyes the results of what you are doing. You start to see the results. Increase is not something so vague. The days of vagueness is over. It's over. How much did you make? You are in a business. Listen, somebody called me a while ago and we were talking about some things that we were doing. And the person said, so which ones are the top sellers? Which market are you doing the best in? I gave a political answer. You know those political answers where you kind of just wriggle and you get out of it without really answering the question. But I knew in my heart that I did not have that information. How can you be engaged in an activity and they say, which market are you selling most in and you don't know? Which product is selling the most and you don't know? means your heart is not there. And if very few people succeed in things where their heart is not there. Very few people. If your heart is not there, the push you need when things don't look to be going right won't be there. You just give up and say, what's that one? You leave it. You leave it. And you cannot afford that. See the amount of time God spent speaking prophetically about Jesus. What did he have said? 1,000 years gone. 1,500 years gone. 1,800 years gone. He's not here. What if he had done that and I said, I give up? Just at the verge of breaking out, you give up. We cannot afford to do that. You stay with the idea. You start to look at it in numerical form. Numerical form. What's happening here? How am I growing? How am I growing? How am I growing? You know, how am I growing? If I'm not growing, I'm not growing. If your profit at the end of the year was 500 pounds, and it's 500 pounds every year, then it's 500 pounds. It's not going beyond 500 pounds. Are you getting what I'm saying here? When your profit reaches 600, you know that I'm growing. Yes, now. So imagine if you have a child. How do you know the child is growing? Shoe size will start to. The number of times I'm saying, like me, I have one that's taller than me, and I'm again. You look at the child and suddenly, my son, please stop now. It just keeps going and it's going and it's going. So I know that growth is taking place. I know it's taking place. Before he sits in the car, there is so much space. Now he's trying to push the seat forward a little bit so that the space will contain him. That's growth. So as soon as you start to get constrained and you can look at the physical, put, if you can, Proverbs 27:23. I think that's where that thing is. Proverbs 20. If you find it, read it. Anybody who finds it should read it.
Be diligent to know the condition of your flock and pay attention to your herd.
Be diligent to know the state of thy flocks. How much am I making? Where is my time going? How much time am I spending on the matter? How much time am I wasting? Somebody said he was going to go into ministry. He gathered the biographies of 70 people who had operated at that level. 70. And started to study them. So by the time he got into ministry, he had the combined wisdom of all those guys. So that's the point. So you say that there is an issue that has been there for so long. How much time have you spent on that thing? You then start to take the word of God that you have and you apply it against the problem. You know, I told somebody this. Do you realize almost every major man of God in the 1948 to 56 healing revival, a significant amount of those guys came out of sickness that was almost going to kill them. What is my point? All of them, and I've read the stories of some of those guys, they started searching. They started searching. Hagin, he was on the deathbed. He started searching. He started searching. Oral Roberts, he was dying of tuberculosis in the back of the car. Started searching. Started searching. John G. Lake, all his family was almost dead. He was almost next on the line. Started searching. The man that helped John G. Lake, the Alexander Dowie. He was in Scotland. People were dying all over him, and he was saying, God, what is going on here? Andrew Murray. Same thing. People were dying all over. And then they started to search the scriptures that there must be an answer here. There must be an answer here. There must be an answer. When they found it, they started to do it. They started to do it. And at that time, they were telling Andrew Murray that healing is gone. He's no longer in the church. The result of his search led him to the answer that caused a revolution. Because people started going to their pastors and they say, Pastor, please pray for me, I'm sick. Pastor said, how can you be sick? Andrew Murray got healed of his sickness. And he said, And that's how they drove him out of the church. They drove him out of the church that you are preaching heresy. It's not heresy, it's here. It's here, it's here, it's in scriptures. So that's what I'm talking about, the wisdom of work. There are so many things that have been there and there and there, and you have been wondering, this thing is not shifting. Even for the challenges that, for the challenges that may appear not to be physical or something that you can quantify in physical terms. So a good example would be maybe somebody believing God for the fruit of the womb. So that's not something that you can numerically quantify what's going on. But the question is, how many scriptures on that matter do you know? How many scriptures have you taken in your search where you started noting and you started noting? Or through your prayer, something came out to you. I was sharing with Pastor. A scripture came out to me in Acts of the Apostles chapter 1. It says that when the Holy Ghost came on the people, the Bible says this. It says, and it was noised abroad. It was noised abroad. And as I saw that, it was noised abroad. And God said, that is advertising. And I started to study, it was noised abroad. Okay, how was it? What did it mean to be noised abroad? It meant that they took words, they combined words with musical instruments. And people were taking it all over and saying that something is happening. That's how those guys grew to 3,000 people. That's how they grew. I said, if I take a form of words, I attach music to the form of words, and I send it out. It says, and the people gathered. And I saw that. I said, okay, so that is the way it's done. So my investment in the area that God showed me was triggered by that word. Okay, I get it. I get it. Are you following me? Now, there is, when we're talking about this increase, I think one thing that's important is to realize the fact that all over scriptures, one of the things that God gave the children of Israel, in fact, if we go way back to Adam, the very first instruction God gave Adam was, dress the garden, till the ground. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 12, I think it is, Genesis 4:12. Now, Adam fell, and there was something significant that God said. Something significant. Let me read it to you. Genesis 4:12. This is the story of Cain. It says, and now thou art cursed from the earth, verse 11, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from the ground. Look at verse 12. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto you her strength. And as I saw that, God was showing me that he has set certain things in motion on the earth. You don't need to recreate anything. You just need to follow the established process. You just need to follow. So, what's going on here now? Because of the sin that was in his life, it says that the ground will no longer yield its fruit. In James chapter 5, James 5, around verse, I think it's 17, 18, where it was talking about Elijah being a man of like passions as we are. He says that he prayed that it might not rain, and it didn't rain for the space of 3.5 years. And then he says that he prayed again, and it rained, and the earth gave its increase. The earth gave its increase. The earth gave its increase. Then in Psalm 67, it talks about, let the people praise thee, O God. Let the people praise thee. And the earth will yield. Through praise, the earth will yield its increase. Now, what is the earth? The earth is, that's where the effort, your hand, what you are doing. What you are doing, that is the earth. What you are doing. He's saying that to get what you are doing to increase and to become easy, praise God. You know, I know praise is not just, oh God, I praise you. God, I praise you. I praise you for what you... No. If you look at Psalm 30, I think you see an example in Psalm 30, you see an example in Psalm 96 of praise, where David started to praise. David started to praise God. David was talking about the greatness of God. He was talking about, God, are you not the one who divided the Red Sea? Are you not the one who brought us out of that place? Are you not the one who created this? Are you not the one who created that? Are you not the one who delivered me when I was in my time of trouble? What are you doing there? You are praising. You praise by talking about the things the person has done. And as you do that, suddenly the works of your hand starts to get easier and easier. And as it gets easier and easier, what happens? Increase comes. Increase comes. Why? Because you are spending less time on this thing. Because you are spending less time on it, you can focus on something else. You can focus on something else. You can focus on... So these principles are just the principles you need to follow. Principles you need to follow. I'll close on one point. I think we're running out of time here. I'll close on a number of points just to some practical steps. So one of the practical things you should do in this applying wisdom to the works of your hands so prophetic statements can be fulfilled is pray in tongues a lot. Pray in tongues a lot. If you think, okay, I'm praying in tongues now, multiply however amount of time you are spending, and then increase that. The Apostle Paul said something. He said, listen, I pray in tongues more than you all. I pray in tongues more than you all. Why? Because in 1 Corinthians 14, it says, he that prays in an unknown tongue prays unto God. No man understands him. Your spirit is praying. And when he says your spirit, it's the cry of your heart to God. And you see, the role of the heart. The role of the heart. So when they say believe, you know, believe just means you change your point of view on a matter. That's all it is. That's all it is. You change your point of view based on information that has been presented to you. You change your point of view. So in Mark chapter 9, around verse 24, when this man that had the son was deaf, and I think he said he had a deaf spirit. And Jesus said to him, Jesus said that, look, if you believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. What did he say? He says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. That means the mindset that is in me, that is causing me to do something different, God, help me to change it. So the mindset that would have come into my mind, that would have taken the resources away from the idea that God dropped in my heart, God, take that thing away, because that is unbelief. I may look at this, and maybe the physical manifestation is not there yet. It doesn't matter, because you have gone into the ground with your seed. You have gone into the ground. All your effort has gone into that thing. And you are saying that the grace for fruitfulness, the commandment of fruitfulness is upon my life. Therefore, this thing will grow. And it will grow in measures. It says some 30, some 60, some 100. Some will be 5. When you get 5, your idea is to multiply the 5. When you get 2, your idea is to multiply the 2. When you get 1, worst case scenario, go to the bank and get the bank interest. That's the worst level, is at least get bank interest. Speaking to somebody a while ago, he said, you know, the bank was telling him they wanted to do something, you know, come and bring this thing, we'll give you this. And he said, okay, so hold on. I will take what I have, I will give you, and you will give me some ridiculous percentage of interest. He said, but okay, hold on. If I take this product and I use this product to do this, that interest you are talking about, I'll probably have made that in a week. I was like, eh? So you go to the bank when creativity ceases. When you don't know what to do, you look for a safe house to keep it. When you don't know what to do. When you know what to do, it doesn't work like that. The man who multiplied 5 did not work that way. The one who multiplied 2 did not work that way. Did not work that way. It is a safe house. That's why it is a bank. Store it there until you know what to do. And when you know what to do... Anyway. Practical step. You pray in the Holy Ghost a lot. And in fact, that let me not leave this point. Creativity. Creativity is important. When you are in a difficult position, creativity is what you need. Because when you are creative, you will find a way out. Look at what God created out of dust. The complex machine referred to as man was created out of dust. What if he had more than dust? What if he had more than dust? The same way. So you have more than dust. Hey, you have more than dust. I have more than dust. What are we going to create with what we have? When you pray in tongues a lot, you know, for me, when all this, I just go, I start to pray in tongues. Sometimes I might just be praying. Initially, I might be watching. Maybe the TV is on or something is going on and just I'm doing all my stuff, At a point, I say, what's that? As soon as I hit that moment, every other thing I block out. And I just continue, focused. Sometimes I'll go back to scripture. I look at the verse. And I continue praying in the Holy Ghost. I continue that process. I come to scripture again. I continue praying in the Holy Ghost. Then I will be prepared for places like Ashbona. That when I show up in there, somebody is saying that the scriptures are just connecting. Bam, bam, bam. As soon as the scriptures connect, I see the next thing to do. I move away. I do the next thing. As I do the next thing now, results will come out. Almost everything. When we started writing books, it was the same thing. It was the same thing. Went through the painful process. I would go through the park almost every day, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. No job for almost 6-7 months. House was at risk. Lost the car. Everything was almost going. And I was thinking, my God, what's going to happen? We were going to buy a new car. I took my daughter. It was Christmas time. And we were walking. There was snow. The girl was walking with me. Neil was walking and we were going. And then on the way back, she started saying, Daddy, my legs are cold. Daddy, my legs are cold. And I said, okay, let me see. As I picked her up, the shoe had ripped apart and snow had gone into it. And she had been walking like that for a long time. I turned my back and tears were dropping. Like this? And I started walking around in the park, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Ghost. And God said, you remember that vision you had on that day? I said, yes. He said, go and write it in a book. Huh? He said, go and write it in a book. My first book, I spent 3 days nonstop. Drop the kids, come back home, rest a little bit, typing. First 120 pages in 3 days. 3 days. When I finished, I did not even know what I was writing about. I didn't know what's the topic. What's this thing? I was just typing. It was as if somebody pressed download. And it was just coming like that. And as it was coming, I was typing. I typed. And then the book. Somebody said to me that we are going somewhere to see somebody. You know, my wife would say, call your dad. Call your dad. I will call him, don't worry. And then my dad, I called him. And he said, you know what, I'm going to see this person. Is there anything you want me to mention? I said, there is nothing. And then it came to my mind. The manuscript. I said, yes, there is. The manuscript. I sent him the manuscript. And he got to the man of God. He said, the man of God got up, picked up the manuscript, and started to prophesy on the thing. Listen, this is the thing that happens behind closed doors that makes the thing going out in front okay. And he picked the thing, he laid his hands on it. That was about 21 books ago. When this story happened, about 21 books ago. Now, the story is not in the books and the number of the books. No. Far from it. The first book, I was reading scriptures. I saw the story of Jacob, how they brought him and they said, look, anyone that's plain, it goes this way. Anyone that's spotted and speckled, it goes that way. And God showed me that. So what did I do? Listen, what I'm telling you is how I have interpreted scriptures to work for me. I took that thing. Okay. So he took the wood. He chopped something out of it. I took the books of every man of God that I knew was successful. The ones I could get my hands on that I wanted to be like. I took their books. I took my books. That's what Jacob did now. I took that one. I took all of them. In the name of Jesus, this grace transfers into my books. Then one day, one woman was about to commit suicide. And she took that very first book. As she opened that book, she started to see wisdom. She calls the church and said, who wrote this? This guy that wrote this book, I bought it in your church. I want to talk to that guy because he just saved me from dying. I said, eh? One guy was on the plane. He said for 20 years, he had been looking for answers to problems. One particular problem. He picked that thing and he opened it. He saw the answer. Guess what? Some of the things they were talking about that they saw in the books, I did not write anything about those things in the books.
Yeah.
I was saying, I did not write about that in the book. But what's happening? The Holy Ghost was going in the thing. The lady who got healed of sickle cell, she just got a copy of the book lying on a shelf. Grabbed the copy. All that lekashaya gatalabaya ya ya ya. That's the result. That is the result. Listen, the process of Christianity is definite and sure. As long as you keep with this process, the result will come out. It will come out. It will come out. The result will come out. So pray in tongues a lot. Look for a measuring system. A measuring system. How much time have I spent on this thing? How much effort have I expended? How many people have I consulted who are knowledgeable on the matter? Have I consulted? And you don't need to consult them in person. You can consult their works. You can consult their works. How many books have you read on the matter? Pick that. You have started a business. How many books have you read on that type of business? It was part of my studies that I found out that since the creation of the printing press, over 150 million titles have been published worldwide. 150 million. I was struggling with words. What am I going to write? How am I going to get words flowing? God asked me, He said, how many letters are there in the alphabet? Letters in the alphabet, what's that got to do with what I was saying? I said, well, in the English language there are 26. He said, do you realize that every book ever written in the English language came out of 26 letters? What? That is, if it's in English, it is 26 letters. If it's in English. I said, eh? He said, do you realize that if I show you the newness of me every day, and you write about that newness of me that you see every day, till eternity you will be writing material and you will never run out. And since I got that revelation, I have never run out. If I sit down and I stand behind my computer, as soon as I start to type, heaven opens. Heaven opens. And some of the things that are opening are not things that maybe I had somebody say, yeah, I had some. No. These are things that as I start to sit down and say, hey, what's this? Where is this coming from? And for a lot of them, I have to be careful how I say it. Because I'm like, God, if I go and say this now, there's nobody saying it. Until God now started to say, boy, if you want to move, you better be saying it. You better be saying it. I saw it. I said, this is how this thing works. And one of the things that God has laid on my heart now is that, look, boy, a lot of times we focus on the products that people create. But we should focus on the ways. What was the process? What was the process? How did you get that thing? When you made that thing, what happened? What did you do behind closed doors to achieve that result? Because if you tell me that process, peradventure, my results will be quicker. But people don't say that. They tell you about the product. Everybody is shouting about the product. Tell me the process. Tell me the process. Some people knew the ways of God. Other people knew the acts of God. Tell me the process. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise. Father, we thank you for this morning. We pray in the name of Jesus that this word will create results in the lives of the people. I pray that there will be a stirring up in their hearts, and that the results will be evident. In Jesus' name, amen.